Right, here's Jim on the line. Morning, Jim.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Jim.
Firstly, I just want to thank you for covering this here because I've been jumping up and down about it for months.
Why are you jumping up and down about it for months, Jim? How does it affect you?
I've been trying to draw people's attention to this here because I don't think, honestly, I think it's beginning to dawn on the farming community here exactly where this whole thing is going. Firstly, the deals that they're talking about with America there include the chlorinated chicken and the hormone beef. Now, hormone beef was banned in the EU in 1985 because of human health issues. They thought it was growing breasts on young boys and growing facial hair on young girls. And so it was banned.
Well, can I remind you there's been no deal done with America to bring in chlorinated chicken?
No, we're into hypotheticals here. No, there has been no deal done, but there are memorandums of understanding already there. And they're as good as deals. And there's been talk of lowering food standards after Brexit to allow this stuff.
So what do you think should happen now, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If that stuff comes in here, basically the UK don't really export that much food. So it's not really going to affect them that much. But for Northern Ireland, it's an absolute disaster because we export our stuff with UK stamps on us. And basically, our customers, once they get the wind of this stuff could be contaminated with hormone beef out of America, they're going to say, we don't want that stuff. That's a definite thing. That's the Northern Ireland beef industry completely gone. And the notion like that the UK is going to buy all our
beef. How would it be contaminated?
It could be contaminated because it doesn't have to be contaminated. All it has to be is the notion that it is contaminated. Now, we saw what happened in BSE. We had the one cow.
Well, this is scare tactics, though. This is irrational scare tactics from you this morning, Jim.
No, it's not irrational at all. This is facts. We had the one cow staggering about that man's yard in England, shown repeatedly on television, and it almost closed the Irish beef industry because it spoke the same language as the English people. Now, I know that for a fact because at the time I was involved in the marketing of beef in Germany. And it went from 23 containers a week down to one container inside about 2 months. So, like, you know what I mean? Don't think it doesn't happen.
Jim, thank you for your call this morning. Let me bring in Karen. Morning, Karen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Karen.
Stephen, I'm ringing this morning with regard to an industry that I don't think has had probably enough focus on, that is the passenger transport industry and how it will be affected and how the local economy will be affected in the event of a no-deal Brexit. And we're not just talking about the everyday cross-border services and the school services and everything that takes place every day. We're also talking about what will happen to local industry and to the tourists that are coming in and that we're taking out of Northern Ireland into other jurisdictions.
Well, again, I don't understand. What are you saying will happen to these tourists?
Well, come day one with a no-deal Brexit, what will happen is there will be no recognition of operationally for operators, for their driver's licences, operators' licences. We may need work permits. The whole insurance industry is under question in terms of the vehicle.
So you might need work permits to do what?
Yeah, drivers may need work permits if there is a no-deal Brexit. And I know that
might need work permits to operate where?
Into the Republic of Ireland and into Europe. So there are many.
I see that you're from Titanic Tours. You're from that company.
No, I'm not from Titanic Tours.
Well, that's what it says on my screen.
Well, I don't know where that came from, Stephen. I am from the Federation of Passenger Transport. We have talked many times in the past, but I represent the coach tourism industry and top passenger transport. And my concern is the fact that it is going to affect an industry which contributes tens of millions of pounds into the local economy every year. Because it is not, on day one, we will not just be able to operate services as we currently do unless they're daily done. Now, that is, as it stands, that is a fact. And I know that we are working ourselves. We have done our best. We are working with local government and we're working with, obviously, national government to try and look at how we prepare for the future. But people need to understand that this will affect. I have one hotel in Belfast. Many hotels, during the height of the season, bring in 50 coach tours per week. Now, that's just 50 coach tours for one hotel. You extrapolate that against the 25, 30 hotels in Belfast who all bring in common visitors. Now, that's accommodation, that's meals, that's entertainment, that's attraction. That's going to affect everybody. So there's another industry here that has to be recognised for what needs to be done, and the fact that a no-deal Brexit is going to affect them. Operationally, bureaucratically, costs everything.
And are you talking to any of the political parties? Have you spoken to the DUP about
this?
Yeah,
we have talked. Well, you know, in the end of the day, DUP, whatever political party, whatever government department we are working, we are doing our best. But they have to understand the financial repercussions, not just in terms of the sustaining all the business, but to our own industry. To our own industry, how this is going to affect us. Somebody needs to think, sit down and think about this.
Karen, let me say thank you. Gareth next. Sorry, Richard next in Belfast. Morning, Richard.
Hi, Stephen. Under a confidence and supply deal, we got a windfall, £1 billion to be spent on behalf of...
I can't hear you, Richard, mate. We'll try to get it sorted. John in Belfast. Morning, okay. John.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Listen, let's just listen to Jim Wales here talking about leaving the EU. The biggest concern that I have, and I have had nobody mention it, is the most vulnerable people in our society. Now, I actually work for special needs children on a voluntary basis. I attended a meeting last night. The biggest concern is, come March, if we leave the EU, the funding that they get from the European EU is going to stop. And they are really, really frightened here. How they're going to look after the most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland. Some of these charities are actually maybe talking about they're going to have to close, and people are going to have to be turned away from these places and have to go home. And then they just don't know what's happening. You know, they rely on this funding from Europe to keep their heads afloat for looking after the most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland. And this DUP, they're all about community. Where's the money going to come from then to support these charities? They need that money.
Well, no doubt Brexiteers would argue that the money that we currently give to the EU, we would have ourselves at the discretion to spend it whatever way we like.
But there's no talk whatsoever about it, Stephen. They haven't even mentioned it. The EUP haven't even sat down and said, look, we're going to be looking after our most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland. We realise the EU give grants to these charities. If that stops, come March, we're going to make sure that these people get that funding that they need. There's not even a mention of it from these people in the DUP. That's all we're pulling out of the EU. What's going to happen to these charities? They're going to go to the wall. They can't survive with no money.
Well, what is going to happen? What are the charities legislating for? What are they doing?
Stephen, they don't know. They don't know. At the meeting last night, they said they don't know what's happening. Come March, if we pull out of the EU, they don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. They don't know. The fear factor last night, at the meeting last night, is they just do not know, come March, where they're going to be. Once they lose their funding, where they're going to be. What's going to happen? They don't know. The fear factor is there. They said they're scared stiff. They're scared to think about it. Come March, what's going to happen to these children, vulnerable children?
Which charities are we talking about here?
What?
Which charity are you talking about?
Well, you'll have the bigger charities who will receive funding from the EU, like Chest and Heart and all that, but you also have smaller charities who don't get funding and rely on donations from members of the public. So if the bigger charities lost their funding, they're going to go out to track funding from members of the public on the street, which will have effect on the smaller charities. So it's a real knock-on effect here.
Are you worried?
Oh, I'm major concern. I could see the chairperson last night. She's just sitting there nodding her head. She says, I just do not know what's going to happen here come March. She says, I'm scared to think about it. These children. She says, what are we for doing if we don't get the money we need? We're going to have to close. We're going to have to turn people away here vulnerable.
Well, surely, look, the biggest party in Northern Ireland supporting Brexit, the DUP, surely you can reach out to them and ask them what their solution is, what their thoughts are around this.
Well, I haven't heard nothing. I haven't heard any solution from them.
Well, have you contacted them, to be fair to them?
Well, they've contacted all. Most of the MLS. But as you know, trying to get a response from them is hard enough. You know, they keep saying they will get back, they will get back, but they never do. And it's getting to the wire now where we're talking about March. And it's getting to the crunch time that local charities need to know what's going to be happening to them, to tell you the truth. The MLAs need to be telling local charities here, look, we know you get funding from the EU. You rely on that funding to look after the most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland. We're going to be doing our best to try and make sure that you maintain that funding. But nothing's been said. Nobody's even mentioning this in the radio or nothing.
John, thank you. Let's try Richard again. Better line, Richard. Morning to you, Ken. Go ahead, Richard.
Can you hear me now, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, under the confidence and supply deal, we got a windfall. £1 billion to be spent on behalf of everyone, because it will be a major financial boost to our public services. Hundreds of millions still to be paid. If the confidence supply deal is broken, do we lose that money?
But they did deal with the Tories, didn't they? Not Theresa May. So they would presumably say that deal is still there, Richard.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the whole deal. If you break part of the deal, you break the whole deal.
Richard, thank you. Gareth, morning, Gareth.
Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to make two tiny points about what Jim Wells said, and then I'll say what I was going to say if you've got
Well, you've got a minute and a half before the news.
Right, OK. First of all, he was talking about 56% of the trade is already checked. Surely that's not a million miles away from what Michel Barnier said about barcode checks yesterday. And the second thing is, how on earth can the DUP compromise on security and biosecurity, whether it's people, livestock or plants? And then the third thing I was going to say is, what about the Irish government? Why isn't the Irish government supplying more flexibility at the moment? The first thing they asked for after Salzburg and after the latest Brussels meeting was for the common travel area to be maintained. If they want the common travel area to be maintained, which is a bilateral arrangement, why aren't they offering more flexibility with the UK?
Let's see if we can squeeze in Donald. 20 seconds, Donald.
Yeah, Stephen, just wanted to make a point there with regard to the financial services industry in the UK. Basically, it's based in the southeast of England. A lot of that is going to go to Europe, Brussels, Strasbourg, etc. If Northern Ireland has the duality of both markets, surely they'll relocate here.
OK, Donald, thank you very much indeed.